Now, a few verses from Acts chapter 13, please. Acts chapter 13. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. Now, we'll not read the whole of the message or sermon, address. Just let's select, shall we, a few verses from chapter 13, beginning at verse 23. And verse 23 says, of this man's seed, that's David, of course, David the king that we read about in the Old Testament, of David's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Saviour, Jesus. How wonderful. And then down to verse 28, please. He's down quite a bit. Verse 28. Still speaking about the Lord Jesus, the Saviour, because that's our subject tonight, the Saviour. You know, we're singing this morning, Hallelujah, what a Saviour. And I've just thought from that, you know, Hallelujah, what a Saviour. That we would think about him tonight, the Saviour, the Lord Jesus. Verse 28 then says, and though they found no cause of death in him, that's the Lord Jesus, of course, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. Verse 29, and when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But, here's one of the great buts of the Bible, but God raised him from the dead. Now down to verse 38, please. A few verses further down. Verse 38. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, the Lord Jesus, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe. Notice that, please. All that believe. How important that is. Are justified, and that means, of course, made righteous. All who believe, says this verse, are made righteous in the sight of God. Now, we need to understand that. We need to get a hold of that great truth about the gospel. All that believe are made right before God from all things from which ye could not be justified or made righteous by the law of Moses. This is something the law of Moses couldn't do. This is something that Christ Jesus has done by his Calvary work. Then verse 41 says, behold, still addressing this audience, behold, ye despisers. They were despising Christ Jesus. They were setting him aside. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe. So a man declare it unto you. That'll do for a reading for the time being. And we always look to the Lord for help as we make known the gospel. So somebody, what is the gospel? And there's somebody with us even tonight. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? And the gospel, as often been pointed out, is the good news of Jesus Christ. It's news that centers upon Jesus Christ. Without Christ, there's no gospel. Without the cross, there's no gospel. And so, we're turning our thoughts tonight to this wonderful Saviour we were singing about this morning, because we sang that wonderful hymn, Hallelujah, what a Saviour. And so that just stirs my mind anyway, and I'm sure it does yours too, you Christian folks. It stirs our minds just to think about the Saviour, the one and only Saviour, the Lord Jesus. This is a great book, Book of the Acts. It's called here the Acts of the Apostles. I prefer to call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. Wonderful that. It's really the power of God in evidence in human life. Oh, there was 3,000 saved at the beginning. And then you go further on and there's so many more saved. And people, by and large, were being converted to God. They're being turned to Jesus Christ from their sins to the Lord Jesus by the Holy Spirit of God, His power, working through men like Peter and Paul and others, Barnabas and others. And they preached Christ, and great things happened. This is really a book of miracles. Oh, yes, great miracles. And just at home, we're reading recently chapter 9, the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. What a miracle that was. There was no preacher. Now, there's a preacher here tonight, there's a preacher here every Sunday night. But when we read Acts chapter 9 and the wonderful miracle of Saul of Tarsus' conversion, there was no preacher around. I don't know if there's a Bible around. Don't know. There's no church. There's no gathering like this here. And yet, wonder of wonders, Saul of Tarsus was converted by God stepping into the scene. Just a man in his way from Jerusalem down to Damascus, and God intervened. And that's what we would like to see tonight here. You know, if God intervenes in this meeting tonight, there could be a great miracle of saving mercy and saving grace. But it takes God in all his wonderful power to come in amongst us. And that's why we have a little prayer meeting, as we had here tonight. Yes, wonderful, little prayer meeting. Getting in touch with God, praying to him, seeking his blessing, seeking to know his power amongst us. And wouldn't it be wonderful this very night if God intervened and there was blessing here and someone in our gathering, some younger person, some older person, if someone in our gathering turned by faith to this wonderful Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we come to chapter 13. This is one of these great messages, these great words from the Apostle Paul. And he begins by talking about the Saviour. Not surprisingly, the Saviour is the centre of all the Bible. Oh, yes. He's central from Genesis to Revelation. Just read, as you read through your Bible, I often say to some of the young folk, as you read through the Bible, look for Jesus Christ. Look for the Saviour. Look for scriptures about him. You know, see Jesus in the Bible. If we don't see him, we failed. We must see Jesus as the only Saviour. And so when Paul begins speaking to these people, he talks about the Saviour. And he tells us that he was promised. Oh, yes. Do you know, the Saviour was promised from Genesis chapter 3, right from the beginning, when sin came into the world first of all, through Adam and Eve. That's when the Saviour was promised. Because he was the only answer to the sin of man. How wonderful. Right away back then, this blessed person, this Saviour, was promised. And he was, then later on, of course, he was provided. Oh yes, he was promised away back then. But then he was provided. And here's what 1 John says, chapter 4 and 14. The Father, here's the provision. The Father sent his Son. Isn't that wonderful? The Father sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. And that's so wonderful. Because we sometimes sing, he saw us ruined in the fall. He saw us as sinners in great need. He saw us ruined in the fall, yet loved us notwithstanding all. He saved us from our low estate, says the hymn, his loving kindness. Oh, how great. And that's wonderful, isn't it? And these are the things we're thinking about tonight. The loving kindness of God in not just promising a Saviour, but providing a Saviour in his Son, the Lord Jesus. I think we remember Luke chapter 2, at the birth of the Lord Jesus, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. Those were the words of the angels when he came into the world. He would be the Saviour, Christ the Lord. Oh, how we exult in him. How we rejoice in our Saviour tonight, those of us who have come to know him. Yes, we are sinners. All of us are sinners. That's a reality. That's a Bible fact. That is indisputable. We are all sinners. We should know it within our own hearts that we're all sinners. Nobody should need to tell us that we're all sinners. But it says Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All without exception, all without excuse, and really all without escape, except, of course, we believe in the Lord Jesus. For if we don't believe in the Lord Jesus, there's no escape for us. How shall we escape, says Hebrews chapter 2, if we neglect so great salvation? So promised and provided. And God has provided for great sinners a great Saviour. Isn't that wonderful? We're just not sinners, we're guilty sinners. We're great sinners. We're hell-deserving sinners. We don't deserve God's mercy. We are sinners, and great sinners at that. But I love to think in the gospel that God has provided a great Saviour for great sinners. Wonderful that. Couldn't be any other way. It needed a great Saviour who himself was without sin, without guile, a wonderful Saviour. And he's the one that God has provided. What does John 3:16 say? We all know it well, don't we? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. We're hearing just over the last few weeks about believing. We'll talk about it tonight. We trust we'll talk about it tonight. For it's so important. It's the second part of John 3:16. The first part is all about God. The second part is all about me and you. And right in the middle is that word, Son. We used to sing that, didn't we? 12 about God. There's 25 words in John 3:16, of course. 12 about God. 12 about me. Son in the centre. He's always in the centre. And he's in the centre of John 3:16. God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation full at highest cost. He offers free to. Oh, it was love we sometimes sing. It was wondrous love. The love of God to me, it brought my Saviour. That's the proof of God's love, isn't it? It brought my Saviour from above to die on Calvary. That is the mighty, amazing, unsurpassed love of God. How we think about it tonight. And then, of course, Romans chapter 8, God commended his love toward us. These are the two verses, of course, that went out with the seed sower. That's right. God commendeth, says Romans 5:8, you can check it when you get home, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. There it is again. Can't escape it. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But then, of course, as Paul goes on with this great message, he not only speaks about the Saviour being promised and provided, but he speaks about the Saviour being rejected. Oh, yes. He tells us they condemned him. Yes, men condemned the Lord Jesus. They condemned him to a cross of shame. They condemned him to crucifixion. Falsely condemned him, of course, but it was all in the plan of God. This was God's way, for there was no other way. And he was condemned. He was led out to die, put up on a cross. Robert was reading this morning these tremendous words from Psalm 22, they pierced my hands and my feet. Speaking, of course, way back those thousands of years ago to the very event we're speaking about tonight, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. His hands were pierced. Those hands were holy hands. Those hands, my friends, never committed a sin. His hands never touched anything that was sinful. They were holy hands. His mind was a holy mind, never thought of a sin. No sin coursed through his mind. His thoughts were pure. That's our Saviour we're thinking about tonight. No wonder we sang this morning, Hallelujah, what a Saviour. A spotless Saviour. Yes, those hands were holy hands. They were healing hands. The gospel records, I'm sure, you just need to go through these records to find out that those hands were healing hands. And they were helping hands too. Holy hands and healing hands and helping hands. But they were pierced at Calvary. When, as we were thinking about this morning in one of the hymns, all our sins were laid upon him. That was at the cross. Jesus bore them on the tree. God who knew them, every single sin, God who knew them laid them on him, the Lord Jesus. And believing, here it is, and believing, you're free. And so God has done everything that's required, was required, for our blessing and salvation. So somebody's sitting here tonight saying, well, what are we to do? If God has done everything, does that mean I have nothing to do? No, it doesn't mean that at all. It certainly means that by our works, by our efforts, we cannot gain the salvation of God. We cannot get forgiveness of sins that are found in this chapter here. But it means that we believe. God requires us to believe the record that he's given us about his son. God requires us to believe that when the Lord Jesus died at Calvary, he was putting away my sins. How personal that is. Putting away our sins in his body on the tree. So God laid our sins upon the Lord Jesus, that his righteousness might be imputed to us. Laid upon us, so to speak. So we gain the righteousness of God. See, we've no righteousness of our own. There were folks in the Bible called Pharisees, and they were taken up with their own righteousness, their own good works, their prayers, all these things. But they didn't have the righteousness of God. Every Christian has been made righteous. We did read it, didn't we? That if we believe, we would be justified. Justified. So the Saviour was rejected. He was despised. My mind earlier on, and I'm sure we often think about it in a morning meeting as well, and if you haven't read Isaiah 53, then let me commend that to you tonight. Just go home and read Isaiah chapter 53 that speaks about the death, the crucifixion, the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. What a chapter it is. And it tells us that he was despised and rejected of men. The chapter tells us that the Lord Jesus was the man of sorrows. No one ever sorrowed like him. He was acquainted with grief. That was his companion. He was smitten of God, says Isaiah 53. I'm just picking out some phrases there. He was afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. These are just some of the statements in Isaiah 53. But take time to read it, ponder it, think about it. Because it talks about the Saviour and his Calvary work. His Calvary work. And then it says, the Lord was pleased to bruise him. That's quite difficult to understand in a sense. God was pleased to bruise his only son. And I'll tell you why God was pleased to bruise him and to put him to grief. Because this was the way of salvation. God was glorified in the Calvary work of the Lord Jesus. When the Lord Jesus died, he glorified God and made it possible that we could receive this wonderful blessing of salvation. And then, of course, it tells us not only that he was condemned and put to death, but verse 30 says, but God raised him from the dead. Oh, I love that. Men thought they'd put an end to him when they impaled him up on a cross. They said, that's the end of him. They'd already said, away with him. Crucify him. We won't have this man to reign over us. We have only one king. We have Caesar. We don't want this king. We've got Caesar. But I'll tell you this though. Caesar could save them from their enemies, but Caesar couldn't save them from their sins. That's the difference for you. That's the fundamental difference. Caesar, this mighty Roman conqueror, could save them from their enemies that were all around, but he couldn't save them from their sins. But the Lord Jesus can save us from our sins if we believe in him and if we trust in him. And so they condemned them to death. But that's not the end of the story. It's only the beginning. God raised them from the dead. Isn't that wonderful? Death had no hold upon the Lord Jesus. He could break the bars of death. We sometimes sing about that. Death couldn't keep its prey. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. No wonder we sing with real passion, really. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph. Oh, this was, I think about these words often in a morning meeting. We gathered on a Sunday morning to remember not a dead Saviour, but a living Saviour, and one who has triumphed over every foe. And that's the Saviour we present to you tonight. He died upon the cross that our sins might be forgiven. And he was raised from the dead by the mighty power of God. And he ascended to heaven, and he's there at this present time. And says Peter earlier on in chapter 5, I think it is, he's there as a Saviour. Yes. He never loses that. He's there as a Saviour. And the great thing is he can be your Saviour tonight. But if you believe in him, it says that here, in this passage here. Be it known unto you therefore, says Paul, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus Christ, the Lord, through him, we have forgiveness of sins. Let me ask you a wee question tonight. The young ones, the older ones, are you sure that your sins are forgiven? Have you got that assurance deep in your soul that your sins are forgiven? And if you tell me, yes, they are, well, you'll also be able to tell me you can look back to the time when they were forgiven. I'm not saying a specific date. You need to know all the details. But we can certainly look back and say, yes, that was the time. That was the time when I came to Jesus Christ and I had this wonderful experience. He saved my soul. He has given me peace. He's lifted the burden of sin. And he's given me forgiveness of sins and peace with God. It's such a momentous occasion, my friends. You couldn't forget it. It's the greatest thing we did in our lives. Oh, when you think over your life, I did this, I did that, when I was 10 and when I was 20 and all these sort of things. But this stands out from all the others. This is the most significant and the most important. People talk about the big issue. This is the greatest issue of all, the greatest one. We need to come by faith, simply, and trust the Saviour. Because it says here, all who believe, will be made righteous. Have you believed? I know one man in the Bible who it tells us he believed. And I'm going to meet him one day in heaven. I don't know his name, by the way. He was a blind man. We don't know his name at all. But we do read the story in John chapter 9. And the Lord says, do you believe? He says, yes, I do, Lord. I believe that man's in heaven. We'll meet him someday. The man who was blind, who received his sight. How wonderful. You see, only those that believe will be in heaven. And I'll tell you something else. There'll be nobody boasting in heaven. There won't be one single person who'll be in heaven who's a boaster. There's nobody in heaven who'll ever stand before God and say, I am here because of my good works. I'm here because I did that, that, and that, and that. No. Those folk will never be in heaven. Only those who come by faith to the Lord Jesus and rest upon his Calvary work and say, that work was for me. He died for me. Those are the people who will be in heaven. Believers in the Lord Jesus. But not anyone who thinks that their own merits and their works are good enough. Because they're not good enough. Only the Calvary work of the Lord Jesus, what he did upon the cross. It's not so much what we do, it's more what he did. It's a finished work, as Fraser pointed out last Sunday night. The finished work of Christ. Every preacher should make a lot of that. The finished work of Christ. And so, as the time really has run on, have you believed? That's my little question to every one of us tonight. Have you believed? Have you forgiveness of sins? Have you trusted the Savior? Have you known this peace with God that passes all understanding? That can be your experience tonight. If you never have done it, that can be your wonderful experience tonight. And then, of course, we're singing about the land that is fairer than day. Well, whenever we trust the Savior, we're on a journey. We've started a tremendous journey that ends in heaven, not in hell. We've started on a journey that ends in heaven. There's a land that is fairer than day. By faith, we can see it afar. And do you know something? If you trust the Savior tonight, the very angels of God in heaven will be rejoicing. Isn't that wonderful? Angels. You say, is that right? Oh, yes, that is right. That's what the Bible says. Angels will rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. So if you're that sinner tonight, if you're that sinner tonight who believes in the Lord Jesus, you'll cause rejoicing in heaven. I'll tell you more, you'll cause rejoicing down here. We will rejoice with you. We as God's people will rejoice tonight if you come to know the Savior for yourself. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for listening. And the children as well, all of us. And we just look to the Lord as we close the meeting that his hand will be upon us tonight. He'll come amongst us tonight. And he'll speak to some individual in this very meeting.